This whole topic I'm be talking about has come as a result of a long period of conducting ecosystem manipulation experiments to increase biological control, and have being frustrated by not really being able to prove that biological control has been increased. So I'm trying to figure out why that may be, and this is one explanation. I'm just starting to work on these ideas. The problem is that there have been a lot of studies that have shown habitat diversification does reduce insect pest damage and the need for insecticides. However, statistically rigorous evidence of the mechanism for this pest damage reduction has been elusive. Some papers have been able to show a biocontrol or some other mechanism, but most studies just show there's an effect, but what the effect really is has been elusive. So my working hypothesis, this is just an initial attempt, and this whole talk is probably going to be the basis of the next grant proposal, but the hypothesis, working hypothesis, is that biological control is an ecosystem service. Therefore, it's an emergent property that arises from the interactions among all components in that ecosystem. Therefore, we need an integrated approach to really evaluate the effect of this ecosystem management. Is it through biocontrol? Is it through competition among other herbivores? Just what is the mechanism that's leading to the benefits that we've seen in many of the studies? I'll be showing four examples of projects that I've worked on just to show some of the effects and lack of effects that have been shown. In this first example, I've used several companion plants, flowering plants in the orchard, to attract natural enemies. In this study, I reduced the insecticide use to one spray of insecticide, an Imidan spray at petal fall, so compared to eight in the conventional system. So a dramatic decrease in pesticide use, and the biocontrol, or whatever the companion plants were doing, ended up providing about equal fruit level insect damage on the fruit that evaluation over a two-year period. The first 95, it was a slight difference, significant difference, but 96, absolutely no difference between the treatments. So similar levels of insect damage, reducing insecticides from eight applications to one. And we showed a higher diversity of natural enemies in the plot with companion plants, both because of the companion plants and the reduced insecticide. However, we were unable to document a mechanism for this control. A second example comes from a student and colleague of mine, Clarissa Matthews, in her PhD study, where we looked at effect of extrafloral nectar glands. We had the same peach cultivar, the only difference being the presence of extrafloral nectar glands, that EFN. So with extrafloral nectar glands, there was 1% fruit damage due to oriental fruit moth. Without nectar glands, 20% damage. And as you can see on the other side of the figure, with extrafloral nectar glands, ants were much more abundant, as were braconids. So the natural enemy abundance was much increased. So this kind of leads you to believe that maybe biocontrol is helping, where the ants are pulling off eggs or parasitoids are killing the oriental fruit moth. So we did find that the lower levels of damage, ants and braconids were more abundant, but levels of biocontrol that we monitored from our sentinel larvae and eggs we put out there, we could show no differences in biological control. Third example, we're trying to increase biological control in apple orchards, so we're interplanting peach trees with extrafloral nectar into the orchard. And here are some of the natural enemies we've seen feeding on nectar glands off the peach. In this study, we did show that San Jose scale damage and damage from stink bugs on the fruit was reduced in the presence of peach extrafloral nectar. Our major aphid predator, Harmonia axyridis, did arrive arrived earlier in orchards that had the peach trees than in monoculture apples. However, we were unable to show leaf roller parasitism rates being affected, and predation rates on aphids, either Spirea aphid or rosy apple aphid, were not different. The last example I want to show is that the effect of compost mulch on insect pests. Here we have mulched plots versus non-mulched, the control, no insecticides used. The leaf miner, which was teniform leaf miner and woolly apple aphid, both of these have life cycles that include this ground surface, and the mulch did reduce populations directly of these two pests. So we did reduce pet densities of two pests of apple, but in our studies on carabid predation, we were unable to show an increase in predation in with mulch or without the mulch. So again, we're showing an effect, but we can't document the actual mechanism. One of the problems lies in the landscape of the farm. This is from a European publication, an IOBC publication, and Bowler et al. Showed these ecological infrastructures where you have a fruit farm, but you have hedgerows, you have open pastures, you have high apple trees, dwarf apple trees, maybe companion plants in the orchard. You could have various biodiversity increases between the tree rows. So the whole landscape's involved. So if we change companion plants or add companion plants to this system, that's only an incremental level of increase in biodiversity of the whole integrated farm system. So this is one of the problems. Another problem is when we come up with an experimental unit, a model test case, as in this example, most of us would consider this a rather complex system out in the orchard, uncontrolled variables, two pests we're looking at, let's say a leaf roller and the apple maggot fly, three natural enemies, a calcid, a carabid that may feed on both of them. To us, this seems like a complicated system. In reality, the system's more like this. Even this is simplified. But we have grass in the orchard, we have the trees, whether by design or by accident, we have weeds or flowering plants in the orchard. We have these herbivores in green that are all interacting with each other, feeding on various plants. The natural enemies, like this carabid, may be having predation, intra-gill predation on several, as well as feeding on the pests, and hyperparasitoids possibly affecting a number of these natural enemies and each other. So the system is a lot more complicated. So when we design a study where, for example, I put in companion plants into the orchard to try to increase biological control, yes, I'm increasing biodiversity, but looking at the whole system, how much is it really changing? So just to give some preliminary conclusions and to formulate my thinking for the next stage of work is that we do know that greater diversity of the ecosystem does lead to a diversity of natural enemies, higher diversity. Diverse ecosystems in many cases do provide some degree of pest control, biological control, competition, other ways they may provide some pest control. The mechanism in many cases has not been documented. What we really need to do is look at different methods to detect the experimental effects on ecosystem services, such as biological control and other aspects of habitat diversification. I haven't reached the point now that I can tell you what methods may work. It could be just as simple as, let's not worry at this stage, let's not worry about what the mechanism is, but if we can reduce pest damage through diversification, does it really matter if it's biological control or some other mechanism, just so it's work and is repeatable. So with that, I thank you for your attention, and if there's time for a short question.
We have about a minute and a half for a couple of questions.
Okay, is anything? Judy.
Do you think there might be a problem with using the sentinel method?
Is there a problem using the sentinel method? Definitely. It's the only way we can get numbers enough to look at it, but these are insects that may not have been feeding on that plant. They're just introduced there without all the adjacent semiochemical effects possibly. and a sudden increase in pest density may not really be the way to test it. But yes, certainly. Without them, though, we get three or four rear and malvar parasitoids. You don't get numbers anyway. But you're right that that method is not perfect.
Any more questions for Mark?
Nope.
Thank you, Mark.